friend was at a friend's house. He said, so what do you want? He said, well, you know, I want a job that I don't hate. I want to share my life with someone that loves me. I want real meaning and purpose to go forward, and I want, whoa. I mean, what do you want to eat? It's 4th of July. Gonna have a party. Before the party begins, hopefully we'll have a little bit of a festivity of remembering here today. Thanks for coming to church. Let's talk, friends. What do you want? Psalm chapter 48 opens something up for us. Psalm chapter 48. What do these states have in common? New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. What do they got in common? Huh? East Coast. Anybody else? There you go. 4th of July. Okay. No longer colonies under Great Britain. They ratified the Constitution and became the future first 13 states, United States of America. We'll look at Psalms chapter 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. It puts a song in your heart that may be not familiar in the past. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. So God puts a song in your heart that wasn't there before. Once you hear it. Now he says, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great king, verse number one, great is the Lord. The city of the great king, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They sought and they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away, took hold upon them there in pain, as of a woman in travail. You're familiar with that language. You know, woman in travail has to do with the tribulation. And this city of the great king, it's twofold. It involves the great king in heaven and his kingdom on earth someday after the tribulation. That's what this is looking at. Jerusalem. When the Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that's what it's about. Because that ain't going to happen until the king comes. That's what it's talking about. And so I look at this because what's fascinating about this, and we'll see it, is similarities to how God dealt with the nation of Israel is how he deals with other nations. And similarly to how he deals with other nations is how he deals with individuals within that nation. That means you. Me. That means Canada and Russia and China and Iran and Iraq and Germany and Britain, Yugoslavia and Ukraine, Mexico, Venezuela. That means the United States of America. Beautiful for situation. So I want to look at the meaning from a biblical perspective of America, the beautiful. Because we've got to learn something from this. We can't walk away from this. We have to face this. Amen? There's four major documents in America's, governmental history. They have a patriotic ring to them. Amen? The Declaration of Independence was designed to justify breaking away from the government of England in Britain. Freedom meant war. Some gave it all. We can too. A different kind of war. Amen? But that was in 1776. Those 13 colonies got together
and, you know, leaders representing those colonies went, you know, and signed this Declaration of Independence, and we would fight together. We went to war against England for our independence. 4th of July, 1776. That's what we're celebrating tomorrow, a lot of us today. And 1787, the Continental Congress, you know, met together, and we came up with the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, you know, followed right behind that in 1789. And that involved designing an agreement whereby the government would rule over the people, but there was a check with the people not being abused by the government ruling over people with the Bill of Rights. So the Constitution was for the government, the Bill of Rights was for the people, the Declaration of Independence was for our, you know, our unity as a body of colonies to declare our independence from Europe. That's those three, but you said there was four. The one that was the seedlings to all of this was the Mayflower Compact, which is the first time a country would, they call it the Great American Experiment, where the pilgrims that landed, you know, the Mayflower Compact off the Mayflower over there in Massachusetts, where they would made a covenant with God because they drifted off course. They were no longer under the charter agreement of Britain, you know, in helping further the colonies in Jamestown, and they went on their own, and they said, well, you know, now let's make a covenant with God. So there's order, there's law, there's rule, and we'll make promises with God. It was the seedlings for what would be the future United States of America. One nation under God, not under England. Amen. Not under any other nation. It's never happened before. It's never happened before where a country could do this. Now, when you look in Psalms 48, and it tells you this, it ends with verse number 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. You think America's in trouble right now? Yeah. He will be our guide even unto death. Now, this is what separates what is a camaraderie between patriots and Christian patriots. We understand America the beautiful deeper, more biblically than patriots who we can walk with, amen, in agreement with, because they too believe America is the beautiful, because it is. We just recognized America the beautiful is because of really one reason that outpours into multiple reasons. You say, what's that? Verse number one. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city. God has to be properly understood and praised in order for a country to be honored and blessed by God. America the beautiful. Now, you know, why has progressivism that we live, the day we live in today, which is threatening the death of America, the beautiful, as we know it? Because it's going to continue. And they're so earnestly engaged in trying to change the words of this song. And that's what we, you ever hear the song America the Beautiful? I think you have, because you just sang it, amen? The focus for you and I, 4th of July, isn't so much America as it is the God of America. You lose focus of the greatness of God and the grace that follows, and America the Beautiful will not be America the Beautiful anymore. Amen? Now, when you get saved, you'll find out how God puts a song in your heart, things that you never used to find melodious, or, you know, even if you can't sing, you know, you couldn't, you know, any harmony. I don't know about you, when you got saved, a lot of Christmas songs all of a sudden took on a whole new meaning of worship. It's like, wow, that's God in Christ. There's Hark the Herald. It's like, wow. Amen? It's the same with patriotic songs. I've always loved my country. I was in the military, served some time in the military. But after I got saved, just like I was raised a Catholic, but after I got saved, patriotic songs, they took on an emotional, healthy sense of pride that they never had before. You know, courtesy of the red, white, and blue. All your country songs, American Girl, God bless the USA. Born in the USA. Born in the USA. Have you forgotten? America, the beautiful. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. We just sang that song. America, America. Listen, God shed his grace on thee. That's many countries tried to extract the wealth from America before the United States of America became the United States of America, but they always did it unsuccessfully. It was gold, it was furs, it was minerals, it was expansion and imperialism. Only when the pilgrims came did they establish a seed thought that God said, I like that. Say, what's that? We'll worship and serve thee and be a beacon of light and hope, not to the people in America, the indigenous people, but beyond. And God says, I like that. Amen? America the beautiful is only because of one reason, brethren. God! Take away God, and there is no God shed his grace on thee. Amen? That's why we enjoy the blessings we enjoy today. That's why America is being threatened with death today. Amen. Oh, beautiful for pilgrims' feet whose stern impassioned stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. You know, parents, kids grow up and it's like parents, you did this wrong and you did this wrong and you did this wrong. Hey, shut up, man. What about the 10,000 rights that were outpoured in love for a child's well-being? Amen? In spite of the flaws. America, in spite of the flaws. What about all the 10,000 rights and the wonders of America? No country. If I was Canadian, I'd be proud to be a Canadian. If I was Nigerian, I'd be proud to be a Nigerian. If I was Polish, I'd be proud. But brother, let me tell you something right now. I'm so glad that I'm American. Because I'm so proud to be called an American. Amen? Why? Because it just so happens to be the greatest country in the world. There's never been a greater country, maybe besides Israel, besides America. There hasn't been, and there never will be. I like that. And look at the fruits. America does well. The world does well. America falls apart. The world falls apart. Why? God shed his grace on thee. That's why, brethren. You're seeing it with your eyes. Amen? People can't see the... We've been taught, or being taught through progressivism to hate America. We're being taught a different America than what America is. Look at Romans chapter 10. Or listen as I read. Amen. This is the problem that Balaam had in the Old Testament. He's trying to curse Israel because of their iniquities. Amen. And he couldn't curse them. God said, he said, listen, I can't curse them because God doesn't see their iniquity. They have all these sacrifices and the blood. He doesn't see their iniquities. Brethren, you and I, America. Amen? We got to realize something. Was there slavery in America? Yes. Was there misogyny in America? Yes. Were there abuses? What country didn't have slavery or authoritarian abuses? Tell me a country where human beings didn't live, and I'll say that's where, amen, where people are, there's faults and flaws and sins and corruption. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Amen? Get it? But there's something different about the United States of America. We live in the greatest country. People say, I hate this country. That's okay. You can have your opinion. Why are you still here? If you hate this country, why are you still here? Yeah. Leave. Why are people trying to come into this country? Why so many people? Do you see people leaving America to go to Mexico? You know, to go to Yugoslavia? Hey, let's all, you know, let's pack our bags and go to Sweden or Switzerland or... No, no, no. It's America. Why? It's the greatest country in the world. People know it. They just don't know why. It's the grace of God. Because he's a great God. Now look at this in Romans 10. I want you to see this. Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful, America the beautiful, are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's what makes America beautiful. They put out the Bible. They put out missionaries. They put out the gospel. That's what made America. That's what will make America great again. Make America great again is not based on a red tsunami of conservatism. It will be and only will be based on a red tsunami of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That's what makes America great. Amen? America the beautiful. It's the gospel. And I don't know if you ever noticed, but look at it in Psalms 22. The Bible says, every nation that forgets God will be turned into what? That's what's happening to America. People are being taught, it happened with, let me read you this first in Psalms chapter number, where does it say, turn 22. It happened over there. Something happened that really was a catalyst to the speed of the decay that we're seeing take place right now. Psalm chapter number 22. Look at it in verse number 1. See the very first verse? This has to do with Christ on the cross. Look at it. My God, why has it... Who's saying that on the cross? Jesus. So it shows you this is a crucifixion psalm. Now as you read through all that he went through, look at where it's not just for Israel. From heaven to Israel to all the nations of the world. See it in verse number... Verse number 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Their hearts shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. All the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is whose? It's the Lord's. That's the Mayflower Compact. That's what they recognized and understood and God honored. Now, as a result, you know, right before COVID took place, was a catalyst. You and I watched this. What would you say is America's sport? Of all the sports, there's two of them that really consider. One of them is baseball, and the other one's what? So it started with football, and it spread to other sports where people would use their voice as an athlete to, you know, speak up about things that they felt were injustices. The man's name was Colin Kaepernick. Or Colin Kaepernick, whatever it is, right? He's a 49ers football quarterback. He made a choice. He believed, there's a lot of people believe, doesn't mean they're evil because they believe this. They're wrong, and it just so happens a bunch of them that are wrong also happen to be evil. But this man, he just decided to kneel in San Diego during the national anthem. You know, the Star-Spangled Banner. To call attention to the issues of racial inequality and police brutality. And eventually his own convictions convicted him of being inconsistent and hypocritical. He began to demonstrate a hatred for the country that allowed him to be a multimillionaire. Wearing police pig socks and paraphernalia in honor of Fidel Castro, a murderer, dictator, Fidel Castro. And then he sued and accused the NFL of being similar to slavery stock, where they look at, you know, black people and white people and Hispanic people and whoever else there might be. Amen. But like you stand there and they check your teeth, they check your muscles, and they say, yeah, but you do that of your own free will. And he began to accuse him. He said, now what began to happen is he began to not realize that he began a puppet pawn for the powers that be to cause people to begin to think differently about America. We need to hate this country. Why? There's you have a football team, whatever it is, that wins a football or baseball team, any team. When they win the championship, they're the greatest team of that year. But does that mean that every individual on that team is the greatest player in his position for that year? No, it's in America. There's always people that didn't really do their job, didn't carry their weight, you know, got the honor and praise by other people doing what they should have been doing. Amen? That's what's going on. And then what happens, right, and a lot of people begin to get engaged in this. And yeah, America this and America that. And it's like, God, mend thine every flaw. Listen, there's corrupt people in every country. When the Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness, are there bad police in every country? Are there bad medical professions in every country? Are there bad carpenters, electricians, plumbers? Are there bad tradesmen in every country? Yeah. Are there bad doctors in every country? Are there bad nurses in every country? Are there bad bosses? Are there bad leaders? Are there bad coaches? In every country. Why? Because the whole world lieth in wickedness. Because, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This idea that, you know, it's only America that you bow to their national anthem. And what is it about America? God shed his grace on thee. God has used America as a beacon of light to reach out to the world. Somebody wants America to fall, to change, to be redefined. And as a result of COVID, you know, and all the jab stuff, you know, some of the bubbles of America were popped. And all of a sudden you begin to discover, as a result of this inward bubbling hatred for America, the beautiful. This can of worms open up. Swamp creatures are uncovered. People begin to recognize what their kids are being taught in school because now they're at home and the parents first time are paying attention, you know, with remote learning. And they see this mingled filth and decay and depravity and this hatred and this bombardment of America being systemically evil. And it's like, what are you talking about? You know, what's different of America all these other countries? I'm trying to point out to you the powers that be are spiritual above physical. You know, principalities and powers in high places. And they don't like America the beautiful the way a Christian does. Because what it means is God is first. God is great. And God honors any nation and the individuals in that nation that honor him. They don't like that. They don't want you to understand that. Let me show you what makes a country great. Joshua said that this is success. This is prosperity. It's not the prosperity that, you know, the powers that be want America to have. They don't want you to have individual prosperity. They want there to be a class system of a rich and a poor. Country. This is the greatest country in the world. Don't let anybody cause you to hate America. Why would you hate this wonderful country God has blessed and allowed you to be raised in and enjoy the fruits of his bounty? Amen? That's a spoiled little child is what that is. In Joshua chapter number 1, verse 7 and 8. That's what we're watching happening. To hate the country that has allowed you to be blessed and to live in. No matter how much, you get to choose what occupation. You still have freedom. No country has the freedom like America has. Nobody does. If you're going to be an Olympic athlete, that's determined before you're 6 years old in China. Amen? Most people just work in camps in these totalitarian countries. They never have the blessings that we have. And you can still have more in your pursuit of happiness. One country under God doesn't exist. No other country has it. They all have leaders. You're under the leadership. Xi Jinping 11. you know, or Putin. You know, Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, 8. It doesn't, but brother, we're so blessed. Thank you, Jesus. We're so blessed. You look at these documents and you look at what we're celebrating. People died so we can enjoy the blessings of our freedom. But it's the same with our faith in Jesus Christ. Because we go one step deeper than our patriotic love for America just for patriotic reasons. We do it because we're Christians. Joshua 1, it says, "Be strong, very courageous. Observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left." Why? Because the right and the left will both take you out of whack. "That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." That's what will make America great again. You got to, brother, we got to get back to the book. Amen. In Psalm chapter 33, God says he'll bless any nation and he'll curse any nation. He lifts a nation up, he knocks a nation down. America is being threatened with death. But we know America the beautiful. We know the reason for America being beautiful. You say, what's it? Our God is a great God. Just like, I don't care how far down you, he can lift you up. Repentance. Psalm chapter 33 is what we need. Psalm 33, he tells us in verse 12, I think it is. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." See, it wasn't just from heaven to Israel and it stops. It's the whole world. "And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." The Lord looketh from heaven. One nation under God. The Lord looketh from heaven. That's where it comes from. "He beholdeth all the sons of men." John Hancock, "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." "My only hope of salvation," Benjamin Rush, "is in the infinite love." These are our founders. Are the infinite love. Some of them, you know, were deist. But as far as I know, none of them were professing atheist. Is the infinite love of God manifested to the world by the death of his son Jesus Christ on the cross. "Nothing but his blood will wash away my sins." Sure sounds to me like he's saved. "The great enemy of the salvation of man, in my opinion," Benjamin Rush, "never invented a more effective means of limiting Christianity from the world than by persuading mankind that it was improper to read the Bible at schools. If we were to remove the Bible from public schools, we would be wasting so much time punishing crimes and taking so little pains to prevent." These are our founding fathers. The first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. America, the beautiful. See what you see going on in America right now? That's not America. They're redefining America. Just like they're trying to redefine the Bible and God and boys and girls and marriage and all other kinds of things. They're trying to redefine America. What's America? America, the beautiful, is a nation founded. It was founded on the principles of Christianity and the Bible. It's not, one nation under Buddha. It's not one nation under Muhammad. You see what happens to those countries under Muhammad in Iraq and Iran. You see what happens to those countries under Buddha and the myriad of Hindu gods in India. Look, see, are they blessed like America is blessed? The cannibals and the pagans in Africa. The wealth is in the country. It's in the land. But God hasn't shed his grace. Not like he has in America. "Providence has given to our people the choice of their ruler, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Boy, haven't we come a long way down. Patrick Henry swung the balance of the Second Virginia Convention. "Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Is that what you want? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me something at all. So can you and I. How long halt ye between two opinions? If God's God, worship him. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. You know what's happened? We got all these alternatives. Amen? How long, brethren? We have a very short time to live. We're watching our country in need of patriotic loyalty that understands the depth of the greatness of America the Beautiful. You say, what is it? It's God. It's God. Try to get Christians back in tune with the seriousness of our God. Where the Bible isn't just a book, it's the Word of God. Where prayer isn't just a duty time, it's a privileged time to commune with God. Amen? And him to bear witness to your heart. I heard you. I see that. I like that. Amen? That's what he wants. This is in America. It doesn't exist in other countries like it does in our country. Amen? We're so blessed, brethren. The Constitution was never meant to prevent people from praying. Its declared purpose was to protect people with the freedom to pray. Ronald Reagan. Amen? Liberty must at all hazards be supported. We have a right to it, derived from our Maker. Government doesn't give us freedom. God does. We surrender it when we don't understand America, the beautiful. God's grace was shed on us. But we had not, our fathers have earned and bought it for us at the expense of their ease, their estates, their pleasure, and their blood. 4th of July ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of the devotion to God Almighty. That's why they did what they did. The general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. Don't let anybody ever tell you America wasn't founded on Christian principles, because it was. We're departing from them. It's not a Christian nation. I mean, where it's a theocracy. You mean? I mean, but let's be honest with each other, brother. If you're a born-again Christian, we're all monarchists when it comes down to it. Amen? We're looking for a king. The general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. John Adams. These are our founding fathers. Amen. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. George Washington. The highest glory of the American Revolution was this: it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. How beautiful are the feet of them that have glad tidings. America, the beautiful. That's why. Don't lose sight of it. Don't let this world take it away from you. It's a fact of history that our forebears, whose religious convictions brought them to these shores in the 17th and 18th centuries, sought to create in this new world a biblically based Christian commonwealth. But it was not to be a theocracy, of which the world had seen too many. It was a religious society, but one which incorporated a secular political order. Look at this in a few verses. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Or listen as I read them to you. Our founding fathers understood this. There were three values of American exceptionalism that constitute the American dream that's open for all that enter into our shores. To discover America the beautiful. One of them is E Pluribus Unum, the motto of many there is just one. Or our liberty, the equality of our liberty is different than the liberty of other countries. To whom the Son shall make free shall be free indeed. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Get rid of this book and say bye-bye to freedom, because that's what America the Beautiful is based upon. Amen, Brother John. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Look at this in, what did I say? Jeremiah 17:9. In God we trust. That's it, brother. It's not in Buddha. It's not in Muhammad. It's in God. Don't lose sight of that. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. Now look at this. Our founders knew these few verses I'm going to show you. They speak of them. They understood that man isn't, you know, really good and once in a while does bad things. No. Man's pretty bad and once in a while does good things. See what he said in Jeremiah 17, verse 9? The heart is deceitful above all things. Do you know that? And desperately wicked. Look at the language. That's why people have a problem with the Bible. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins to give every man a quick. God said, that's what I like to see, you pilgrims. I'm going to shed my grace on thee. Amen. So now that right there, that there's this, that what is necessary as a result of this, understood by the founders of our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and Bill of Rights, is that we need a check system. We need government to keep people in order. Amen. The Constitution. And we need a check system and a Bill of Rights to keep government in order. So we'll have the very first of the constitutional protected, you know, rights that with the Bill of Rights we have is to be able to speak freely. And the second one follows right behind. To protect yourself. Not against your neighbor, although that's part of it. Against your government. Amen. Things would be way different if America didn't have gun laws that allowed them still to have freedom. Look at Isaiah 33. Government always becomes a danger to the rights of individuals that don't have the ability to protect themselves. The founding fathers just lived. They just lived watching what England and Britain was doing to the 13 colonies. We can't let this happen again. Look at it in Isaiah chapter 33. This is where we get Isaiah 33, verse 2 and 3. O Lord, be gracious unto us. That's not the verse. Where the three branches of government. Oh, man, that's a really important one, too. I don't have it marked down. That's okay. Huh? 33:22. Yes. For the Lord is our judge. That's the Supreme Court. That's judiciary. See it? The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. That's the Congress. The Congress makes the laws. The Supreme Court judges those laws. The Lord is our king, and the President of the United States executes those laws. Those are the three branches of government. Each is a check on each other. Amen? That's how that works. You can put down next, you can put down 1 Samuel 7, verses 15 and 16, and you see the circuit courts that exist as a result of that. And that's why we're supposed to obey the powers that be. And what happens if the powers that be, what if they all go corrupt, like we see happening in America? Who should you obey rather than men? God. You know what you have that is a check on the whole thing? You know what is the check on the whole thing, brother? You know what the check is on the whole thing? This right here. That's the check on the whole thing. That's why America's great. That's why there's no country like America. It's the greatest country in the world. Because we got a book, ultimately, that's over everybody else. Amen? God bless America. People say, God bless America. Can God bless America? Yes. Will God bless America? Yes, no, maybe. Depending what? Depending if America repents. Amen? If America gets right with God. The original Pledge of Allegiance back in the late 1800s, 1954, President Eisenhower said, we got to change that. There's communism all around us. You Congress, you need to add the words under God in that Pledge of Allegiance so we can have 31 words instead of 29. And the pledge goes like this. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. So you love America? I love America. Is America in trouble? America's in trouble. Amen. But what people want you to think is America is not America. America went to war over slavery because slavery was not America. with the inalienable rights to everybody regardless of skin color. Amen? There's a, whatever other reasons, you could say whatever you want, but it was wrong and it had to be dealt with. There's things, abortion had to be dealt with. Thank God! There's a little light in the distance where maybe God's going to allow a bubble of revival before the Great Tribulation takes place. I sure hope so, don't you? If tomorrow all the things were gone I worked for all my life and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, because the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. What are they singing about? America, the beautiful. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. Where do you want to move? Where do you want to live? What job you? We still have freedom like no other country in the world. If you continue in my truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early night what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming? That's our anthem, brethren. Don't bow to it. Christians, you know what to bow to. You bow to Jesus Christ and you stand to the national anthem. Why? Because America, the beautiful, don't tell me otherwise, is still the greatest country in the world. It's so messed up. That shows you how so messed up this world is. Amen? And I know it is, brother, because America's messed up. We're that beacon. Amen? The Liberty Song was the first American revolutionary song. In freedom we're born, and in freedom back in the 1700s. In freedom we're born, and in freedom we'll live. Our purses are ready. Steady, friends, steady. Not as slaves, but as free men, our money we'll give. Turn to Titus. Two other places we're going to close. To lead a nation down the road away from Christianity is to lead a nation away from freedom and toward totalitarianism. And what happened as a result of COVID, the jab didn't just stick in people's arms, it stuck in bubble perceptions people had of politicians and lawyers and doctors and all different types of, you know, people's vocations. And he begins to see the whole world. You know what you need, America, you know what you need? God. We need nothing more or less than God. We have the answer. You say, I want to see the next generation carry the torch. But if they don't, through this church, what I'll guarantee you by the grace of God is that I plan on carrying that torch till I burn out. Amen, Brother John. Praise the Lord. I hope you can say amen yourself. Let the young people see we've got something worth dying for. Say, what is it? America, the beautiful. It's more than purple mountains and wealth and retirements and cars. It's the gospel. It's the greatness of our God. It's Jesus Christ. Don't tell me he's not worth talking about, living for, and sharing with other people. Sure he is. It's what makes America so beautiful, America so great. Amen? Whatever we once were, we're no longer a Christian nation. Then said Senator Obama, he's a scoundrel. Has nothing to do with the color of his skin. It has everything to do with the color of his heart. He doesn't love this country the way I love this country. Say, how do I love this country? America the beautiful is a great country, a beautiful country because of Christianity. That's how we differ. I'm not saying I couldn't sit and talk with the guy. I'd witness to him by the grace of God. Amen? He believes what he believes. I believe what I believe. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe he's coming back again. I believe he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. There'll be no peace in Jerusalem till he comes back again. Amen? That's what I believe. Do you? Praise the Lord. That's wonderful to get a hold of. The dominant role religion played in the early days of this country is largely ignored by the media, academics, and others. They don't want you to know that America the beautiful is America the beautiful because of Christianity. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Look at this, two places we'll close. Titus chapter number 2. The greatness of our God. See, this is the difference between us and loyal patriots. And praise God for them. Amen? we have more than one citizenry. We belong to this nation and a holy nation up above. Mother, the mother of us all in New Jerusalem. It's in Titus 2:13. This is what we know about the greatness of America. This is what we're looking for. We're looking onto the King, eternal, immortal, the only wise God. Titus 2. We read it all the time, but look at it. Verse 13, looking for that blessed what? There is, brethren, there is no hope. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and who? Savior. I believe that no one can read the history of our country without realizing that the good book and the spirit of the Savior have from the beginning been our guiding geniuses. I believe the entire Bill of Rights came into being because of the knowledge of our forefathers that they had of the Bible and their belief in it. I like to believe we're living today in the spirit of the same Christian religious faith. I like also to believe that as long as we do so, no great harm can come to our country. Amen? For centuries, the Bible has exerted an unrivaled influence on American culture, politics, and social life. Now historians are discovering that the Bible, perhaps the Bible even more than the Constitution, is our founding document, America, the beautiful. Glory to God. No character or constitution is there anything to even suggest that anything other than the Christian is the religion of this country. In none of them is Muhammad or Confucius or Buddha in any manner noticed. Wherever there is a declaration of any religion, it is of the Christian religion. I could show how largely our laws and customs are based upon the laws of Moses and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. America, the beautiful, is because we acknowledge the greatness and the grace that comes from the greatness of our God. Every day, in closing, when the sun rises over Washington, D.C., its first rays fall on the eastern side of the city's tallest structure. It's a 555-foot Washington Monument. The first part of that monument is to reflect the rising sun on the eastern side of its aluminum capstone. And these words are inscribed in it. Laus Deo. It's Latin for praise be to God. This compact prayer of praise, visible to the eyes of heaven alone, is a sober recognition of our nation's unique acknowledgement of the place of God in its founding and its continuance. America, the beautiful, was, is, and still can be, and I realize we're getting ready to go into total apostasy, but we have a part in reminding the next generation of the fire that burns in our heart is the love we have for this book and the Christ child, Jesus Christ, the Lord himself, that determined to make this country the greatest country in the world. Don't let anybody ever tell you anything other than that. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Thank you, brethren.